If you would, please, turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Exodus, chapter 6. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 8. And if you're using the Bibles in front of you, you'll find it on page 43. Exodus, chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. We read these words. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. Because of my mighty hand, he will let them go. Because of my mighty hand, he will drive them out of his country." God also said to Moses, "I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. And by my name, the Lord, I do not make myself known to them. I also established my covenants with them to give them the land of Canaan, where they lived as aliens. Moreover, I have heard the groaning of the Israelites whom the Egyptians are enslaving, and I have remembered my covenant. Therefore, say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm, with the mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people. I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of from under the yoke of the Egyptians, and will bring you to the land I swore with uplifted hand to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord." Awesome words. Look forward to hearing what God has for our hearts through his speaker this morning. God bless.
Thank you, ladies. That is a beautiful song, that's for sure. Thank you. We appreciate your ministry to us. If you have your Bibles with you, I'm going to ask if you might please open up once again to the book of Exodus, chapter 6. This morning, I am beginning a kind of a series of messages of God's promises to us. And I thought that it would be best for us to go back a little bit into our Old Testaments and look at the promises that God gave to the children of Israel as they were preparing to enter into the promised land. Now, in the Old Testament, the promises that were made for the Israelites to go into the land that God had given them although it is an actual happening and an actual event, it also has symbolic reference to the promises that God has given to you and I in this day and age, to the promised land that he is giving us. And today we want to look at in a couple of verses. Verses 6 through 8 is where we're going to be focusing. But as we look at this, we're going to see that there are seven promises that God gave to the children of Israel that are still promises that are made to you and I. And folks, we need to understand as we look at these final days, we need to understand that the promises that God made to the children of Israel are still in effect to today. And those promises God is going to bring about to their ultimate conclusion by the time that the tribulation period is over. The children of Israel are all going to be brought in to the fold of God and into the kingdom of God. And if you read the book of Jeremiah, you will find that although God was very displeased and angry with the Israelites and had withdrawn his hand of blessing from them and had sent them off into captivity, and in fact comes right out and demonstrates that he is divorcing them as his children, but you will find that there will that in the end time he talks about the promise to reinstate them and, if you will, to be restored as his bride, and as a part of his kingdom and his family. And folks, that's going to be coming about, and that's going to happen. But God has always declared that he will have a people here on the earth. And in the modern day times, the church is God's people here on the earth. And so we're going to see that there are correlations between the promises that God gave to the first Israel, the promises that God gave to the nation of Israel as they were preparing to enter in to the land that God had promised them. You're going to find that there are very similar promises in the New Testament for you and I. And so today, that's what we want to look at. Next week, we're going to be looking at seven promises of grace of the I wills of God regarding grace toward you and I. And so let's begin by this morning by rereading verses 6 through 8. And I'm going to be reading from the New American Standard at this point. God is speaking to Moses right before the entrance, and he says this, "Say therefore to the sons of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will deliver you from their bondage. I will also redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. Then I will take you for my people, and I will be your God. And you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you to the land which I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give it to you for a possession. I am the Lord." Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, teach us to have confidence in your promises. And Father, teach us to be faithful before you all the days of our lives so that we might reflect your faithfulness to us in all of your promises. Now, Lord, clear our hearts and clear our minds that we might focus upon your I wills. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. As we see in this particular passage, we're going to see how these blessings that God is ready to pour out on the nation of Israel are blessings that he willingly pours out on you and I yet today. And so let's take a look at these. The very first one I want you to notice is the I will of salvation. Notice in verse 6, "Say therefore to the sons of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians." What God is saying at this point when he says, "I will bring you," he realizes that the children of Israel are under horrible bondage. And that bondage is physical, it is emotional, it is spiritual. The Egyptians had reached the point of being horrible to the children of Israel. And they had no hope within themselves. And so God promises to save them from their circumstances and from their situation and to bring them out, if you will, in that of that type of a circumstance. You know, Pharaoh and all of his kingdom is a symbol of the control that sin has on an individual's life. And short of a miraculous reach of God, sin will utterly destroy man. But God sees fit to save us from the power of sin. I want you to look in your New Testaments with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to read verses 4 and 5. Ephesians chapter 2. But God, being rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. You see, just as the children of Israel were under the despot of Pharaoh, just as the children of Israel were being held down and being crushed and being abused, just as that was taking place with them, you and I were under that kind of a penalty and that kind of pressure and that kind of stress by the power of sin. But God has the solution for our sin. And that solution for our sin is the blood of Jesus Christ. It is the sacrifice that He has made whereby we can have life. If it weren't for the grace of God, we would forever be bound under the taskmaster of sin. And the taskmaster of sin will lead to an eternal lake of fire where there is no hope but only continual suffering. But God, in His richness and in His love for us, offered us a way out of that power of sin, and that is the person of Jesus Christ. He is our hope. He is our salvation. You know the story. And you know how God did bring the children of Israel out from underneath the power of Pharaoh and his armies. How God miraculously delivered them in salvation. Well, God does the same for you and I today. He brings us out of the power of sin and sinfulness and brings us in to the marvelous gift of salvation by His grace. I will bring you. And that promise is available to you and I. Secondly, there is the I will of severance, of cutting off, if you will. I will of severance. Continuing on, I will bring you out from the burdens of the Egyptians, and now notice this, and I will deliver you from their bondage. I will bring you out. I will deliver you. In other words, I will rid you. I will cut you off from the power of evil. Folks, that's the promise of God in salvation. That He will cut us off from the power of evil that holds such a sway on us and deliver us from that. When we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, He gives us strength and His Spirit to help us to overcome the difficulties of sin and its pressure and power. I want you to look with me at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Look at verses 12 and 13, 12 through 14. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. For he delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The I will, if you will, of severance. When we enter in to a life with Jesus Christ, we exit a life of sin. And there comes a hope for us to be strong and to be all that God wants us to be. What an incredible God we serve. He is not willing to just leave us under the empowerment of sin, but he severs sin's power through the grace of his Son, Jesus Christ. He severs sin's power by implanting in us his Holy Spirit. He severs sin's power by giving us grace that overcomes sinfulness. I will rid you. I will deliver you. What an amazing promise God has given. The third I will is the I will of power. Look at it. Continuing, as we come towards the end of verse 6, God says this, I will also redeem you from an outstretched arm, with an outstretched arm, and with great judgments. I will also redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. I love the picture that is brought out in this little phrase. The picture is this. God will lift his children above the power of sin and power of the enemy, and with his arm of power will crush the forces of evil. That's just amazing to me. God lifts us up out of this kind of a lifestyle and crushes that evil influence and that evil control that is over us. Folks, God does that for you. He lifts you up. And you know, when we look at the rapture of the church, that's exactly what we're looking at. God is going to bring the church out of this world before he crushes it with the power of his judgments. And all of those who choose sin over Christ are going to suffer the judgments of God. But those who choose Christ over sin have the protective arm of God that lifts them high and helps them to be redeemed. God has amazing, amazing power. I will redeem you. I will lift you. I will demonstrate my power before your enemies. And isn't that exactly what God did? As Pharaoh's armies began to cross the Red Sea, God utterly destroyed them through the flooding of his power. He was strong enough to hold back the waters while the children of Israel crossed on dry land. And he was also powerful enough to crush the enemies as they tried to pursue the people of God. And folks, his power is just as strong today. He has the power to crush his enemies and to protect his people. Notice again in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. The book of Ephesians, chapter 1. Verse 19. In the I will of power and in our redemption. Chapter 1, verse 19. And what is the surpassing greatness of His power toward us who believe? These are in accordance with the working of the strength of His might, which He brought about in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And He put all things in subjection under His feet, and gave Him as head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. The I will of power. No evil can conquer God. No evil can conquer us if we walk faithfully with Him. We become conquered when we willfully turn away from the protective hand of God. The next one is the I will of separation. The I will of separation. Back in Exodus chapter 6, beginning at verse 7. Then, after I've dealt with these things, then I will take you for my people. Then I will take you for my people. Nation of Israel, when I've crushed your enemies, when I've brought you into the land, then I'll take you as my people. I will separate you from that which is common, that which is unclean in the eyes of the world. I will separate you and make you a unique people and make you different. You know, the Word of God tells us that we are a peculiar people. That doesn't mean that we are odd ducks, all right? But it means we're different because of the grace of God. We have a different way of thinking. We have a different way of looking at things. The world looks at myself. All I need, all I want. Give me my way. We look at life from this perspective. God, whatever you want, that's what we wish to see. God, whatever you will, that's what we wish to do. God, whatever you want to make us, that's what we're willing to be made. There's a separation between the way the world looks at life and the way that the people of God look at life. Hopefully, you want to look at things from God's perspective and you want your life to be hidden in Christ. And in hiding your life, receive great spiritual power and separation from the powers of the earth. I want you to notice 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will welcome you. Come out from the world standards. Children of Israel, come out and follow me away from the power of Pharaoh and all of his armies. Come out, and I'll be your God. Children, today, come out from the world's systems and the world's standards, and be unique for me, and I'll be your God. Come out and be separate. Follow God's will and His standards. Number five, I want you to notice the I will of relationship. Keep your Bibles open to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We're going to be coming back to that in just a moment. But I want you to notice also in Exodus chapter 6, the next step. Then I will take you for my people, and I will be your God. I will be your God. Now, remember, the children of Israel have been going through a time when there's all these magicians that are doing pretty amazing things, but they're not following God. And the children of Israel are under that kind of a bondage. But when they determine they're going to follow God, no matter what the consequences, then God says, I will be your God. He is declaring His relationship with them and how He wants to have that relationship with them. I'll put your enemies under your feet. I'll crush them. I'll judge them. I will destroy them. My love will be for you. I will be your God. I want relationship with you. You see, God is declaring an allegiance with His people. And it is a family allegiance. Notice, if you will, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18. We were already there. Now notice verse 18. God says, you come out, don't touch what's unclean. I will welcome you. And now look at this. And I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. I'll be a father to you. You'll be sons and daughters. Relationship. God loves us with a relationship. And the perfect example of what a father should be. Many of us have had earthly fathers that didn't quite measure up. They didn't measure up because they didn't have godly influences in their lives. And so many people look at this relationship with God and they base it on a relationship that they had with their earthly father. And that's a poor comparison. Because God is a God of love, wisdom, grace, forgiveness, kindness, compassion, peace, joy. He's not like our earthly father. But what He's promising us is a relationship that perhaps we didn't have with our dads. A relationship that didn't honor the name Father. There are perhaps some of us here who, as dads, were miserable failures. But God is not a miserable failure. He is the perfect Father. And He wants a family relationship that honors Him and that blesses us. The next one is the I will of leading. Back in Exodus chapter 6. And I will bring you to the land which I swore to give Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'll lead you there. God promised the nation of Israel a land, and He gave it to them. Man has tried ever since to steal that land back, and that battle still rages yet today. We need to remember that we'd better support the nation of Israel. God has given them that land. And when we determine that we're going to turn our back on Israel, we are turning our back on God and His promise. I pray that our nation gets its head together and becomes a true ally to the nation of Israel. Because the promise that God made, I will bless those who bless you, I will curse those who curse you, is a promise He made to Israel, and it's an effective promise for you and I yet today. We'd better support the nation of Israel. Or we can write our obituary as a nation. Pray for the people in Washington that they get the idea that God has His hand upon Israel and that we'd better support them. I heard the watch. I will close. The last one is the I will of heritage. And I will bring you to the land which I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give it to you for a possession. The land of Israel has been given to the children of Israel for their possession. Heaven is the promise for you and I. That's the land that God offers to us, and He will give it to us. For His promises are all true. He cannot lie. He cannot deceive. He is truth. And if we follow Him, we'll have an eternal possession of heaven. Let's stand.